longer, but I think it puts us gives us a better idea of the story. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do with you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Jonah was saved from the storm when a giant fish swallowed him. An aquatic monster. Not really a whale, but an aquatic monster is the Greek word. Now, depending on how you read, how you respond to this will depend on how you read the rest of the Bible. If you accept the existence of God and the resurrection of Jesus, which is a far greater miracle, there's nothing particularly difficult about reading Jonah literally. The text shows no evidence that the author is making up some kind of a fictional story. If he were, there would be other things that would be added, many supernatural elements. He's simply recording something that happened. Two brief verses about the fish. Just a simple, by the way, fact. So it's best not to get too distracted by the fish. We know that Jonah was a real person. A real person in time and place. We read about him in 2 Kings chapter 14, where he was a prophet to Jeroboam too. And so we know that he existed and that he was real. The book of Jonah was accepted by the Hebrews, and it was included in the Hebrew canon, believed to be an actual account. The Apocrypha lists in the book of Tobit, it talks about Jonah and Nineveh. In the catacombs and the cemeteries of the early Christians in Rome, there are more paintings and more things, pictures of Jonah and the Jonah story than any other story. The church fathers all agreed that this is a factual account. And lastly, the most important is that Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 talks about Jonah and tells the story of Jonah as if it really happened. It's a real story, and that's how we'll approach it in this series. Let's not get all hung up on the fish. Jonah is a book that is known as being a literary sophisticate, which means it is sophistication, which means that it is the writing of it is very, very special. It's a book filled with satire. It's filled with humor. It's a book of questions. In fact, it ends with a question. It ends with a question. There are 14 questions in the book of Jonah. 11 of them are actually addressed to Jonah. And in Jonah, there is a giant test motif. Everything in Jonah is big, right? It's all big. Jonah has a big task. He's called to go to Nineveh. And we'll learn more about this city in Assyria, but it was a vicious, wicked city. Very, very vile place. Very mean and tough crowd. Jonah is called to bring the good news about God to Nineveh. He has a big task. And as you know, there's a big storm and a big fish, right? There's also a big response to the sermon. He just goes into Nineveh. He says very little, very little. And we have the whole town comes to the Lord. The whole town repents. So there's a big response. There's a big plant at the end of the story, and even a big worm to eat the big plant. And Jonah is in a big mess. Okay? Jonah is in a real big mess. Now, there are several themes in the book of Jonah that you won't miss. One is the sovereignty of God, the idea that God is in charge of all. He's in charge of everything that happens, whether if it's the weather, if it's in the sea, if it's on the land, if it's animal life, if it's plant life, even when it's casting lots. Now, I had to tell some of my friends in the first service they like to go to Las Vegas, and I told them not to take this too seriously. But even when they cast lots to see who it was that was the problem, God was in charge of that. God's sovereignty. God's word is meant to be obeyed. The beginning of the book starts out the very first line. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Sadly, Jonah is one of the ones in the book that doesn't obey it. The wind does, the sea does, the fish does, the plant does, the worm does, the Ninevites do, the mariners do. Everybody obeys God's word except Jonah. It's a story of repentance. It's a story of the need to change course. Jonah and the mariners and the Ninevites all must change direction in life. But the overarching theme that we want to focus on in this sermon series is God's mercy. His big, big mercy in this big mess that Jonah finds himself in. His boundless compassion. It knows no limits. Now, we'll learn more about Jonah and his mission next week. But for now, I would like us to see just how this boundless mercy, this compassion of God, affected a certain group of people right from the get-go, right from the beginning of the story in chapter 1. We see this compassion of God in the group that our Bibles call the mariners. The mariners. Now, who were the mariners? Sailors. They were possibly Phoenicians, men of the sea, men who lived their life on the water and in the ships. And they were a tough bunch, okay? They were a tough bunch. This was a rough group of people. They had been everywhere. They have seen some things. They have done some things. They were streetwise. They knew the ways of the world. They knew the ways of the culture. They have been in various towns. Evidently, each had his own God that he came to in this time of trouble. These were self-made men. I can take care of myself. I did it my way kind of a guy. They knew how to get out of a jam. They did not scare easily, these mariners. Okay? And yet, what is the first thing that we notice about the mariners? What is the first thing that we know about this pagan group of people that were so far from God? They realized they were in peril. They realized, hey, we're in trouble here. This is a mess. This is a storm. Jonah is oblivious to it. Jonah is sleeping. He has no idea of what is going on in the world around him. The mariners know. They know there's a problem, and get this, they know it's a spiritual problem. Okay? It's a spiritual problem because the first thing they do is they go to their gods. They go to their gods. They have a God problem because they prayed to their gods and nothing happened. They're still in a mess. They sought their gods and their way and they're in a mess. So they wake up Jonah and they say, we got a spiritual issue here. We got a God problem here. Go to your God. Maybe he'll help us. And they knew that they had a sin problem. Not only a God problem and a spiritual problem, but they knew they had a sin problem because they said, somebody did something here. We got to figure out. This is a punishment. This is retribution. Somebody has wronged God. Somebody has disobeyed God. Somebody's in the wrong here, and the storm has come upon us. We have a sin problem. Now they question Jonah about his identity and his God and his people. And then they continue to try and save Jonah and save themselves, right? What do? They say, well, okay, we're still going to try. You know, we're big guys. We're strong guys. We've been in this kind of a mess before. And it says they rowed. They got out and they rowed and rowed and they still couldn't fix the problem. They still couldn't fix the problem. They tried to row their way out of it. Finally, they gave up and they cried to the Lord and they threw Jonah into the sea and there was a peace. And the mariners' lives were changed. Their lives were changed. It wasn't just, I don't think, some kind of foxhole conversion and we go back to the way things used to be. I believe that they came to know and love and live for the living God. It says they feared the Lord, they sacrificed to Him, and they made vows. You see, Jonah was trying to limit God's mercy. Jonah didn't care about these people. He didn't care at all. And he thought he could somehow have his own plan and direct and point God's mercy and compassion in the right way. I'll not go. I don't care. But he couldn't stop God's mercy. God's compassion, God's grace is so overwhelming. It is so big, okay? That Jonah wasn't going to stand in the way of God's love. He wasn't. He couldn't. Are you aware, maybe today you're here, are you aware that you're in peril? That you're in a mess? You're in some sort of danger. And it's a spiritual problem, okay? It's a God problem. It's a sin problem. It's not something you're going to row yourself out of. Okay? You're not going to row yourself out of it. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that someone greater than Jonah is here. When he talked about the substitutionary death of Jonah and that Jonah gave his life for the mariners, Jesus tells the disciples, now there's someone even greater than Jonah who is going to give his life. substitute his life for you and for me, to bring peace to our lives, to bring peace in the mess, to calm the raging seas. Amen.